This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He corks this out to center field. This is way back there for Paris, and it bangs off the wall. Full steam ahead. J.P. Crawford's coming home. Flying to the plate. He is safe. Julio drives him in with a wall ball double, and it's 6-3 in the seventh.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Broken up by Robert Thomas. Connor took it back from Bolden. 1:15 to go. Here is Appleton on the entry. It's Connor. Down low.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Doncic, two-man game with Hachimura, drives into the lane, twists the body, missed the layup, said he got fouled, he's arguing, now trying to get back down floor. Here's Edwards gliding by and lays it in as Minnesota goes by six.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan. Yes. Yes, indeed. Thursday morning, everybody.
Hello. What is happening?
Oh, how's it tasting?
It's tasting delightful.
Is it?
It's tasting delicious.
Yeah.
My Thursday morning's off to a delicious start.
That's good.
What about yours? How's yours tasting?
Mine's pretty good. Yeah? I'm not having to eat it quite like you are.
What am I eating today?
Oh, that Mariner Crow.
Oh, that Mariner Crow right out of the gate today. This is the year, man. This is the year.
Trident's up, bitch.
This is the year.
It
it's
is.
Definitely all going to go their way. This early season run will not be fool's gold. It will continue. They'll build a division lead that they will not let slip through their fingertips. This is the year.
That was like their best April since 2003.
They're playing great ball right now,
they're
man.
Playing fantastic ball.
They are. Remember the year they had like a 10-game division lead? Remember that year?
That's a different year. It's a different year, baby.
It's a different team. I think it's actually probably about the same
new
exact
team.
I think it's basically the same team, minus like Donovan Solano.
Second best record in the American League.
Jorge
that?
Polanco playing like an MVP is definitely going to keep up all the way through the end of September.
They've won six straight series.
They have. The last time they lost a series, I believe, was when my Giants swept them early in the year.
Yeah.
We woke them up.
Seven on
they
that.
Needed a wake-up call.
Did. You woke them up.
They came to San Francisco. We gave them a wake-up call. Now they've been on a tear ever since.
You woke them up.
Streak.
You got to eat the crow. How about that?
600 winning percentage
oh
right
my God.
Now.
They're above the 54%.
Yeah,
look at the M's this year.
10.
Here they come, baby. This is the year.
You know you've made it when Ken Rosenthal's right. Writing about you.
Well, they're in the Rosenthal article today, huh?
Yep. The Tigers and Mariners successful with middling lineups. I'm serious. That's the article.
Such a backhanded compliment.
It really is.
I can't believe they're actually doing this with a bad lineup.
Actually, let me clarify. Yeah. Tigers Mariners succeeding with patchwork lineup.
That sounds a bit more right.
Does
that
it?
Sounds a bit more fair. I'd say patchwork.
I don't think patchwork makes me feel better.
I here's the thing. Like they do have some guys banged up, so I think you would feel encouraged about that. Of like eventually they're going to get healthier, and you hope that it continues. Whenever you have a lineup without, like the Giants are kind of going through this right now too, because the Giants came into the year not with very high expectations, right? They're going to be fine, but not great. They're not going to win the division. They had three guys that kind of carried the lineup for like a month that were playing out of their mind. Wilmer Flores had like led the bigs in home runs the first 6 weeks of the season. And all of a sudden, as soon as one or two of those guys regress, what happens? You start losing a few games because two or three guys are kind of carrying the team. That's the only question I would have, is how sustainable is the offense when outside of one or two guys, you don't have a high elite level offensive player?
If Jorge Polanco had enough plate appearances to qualify, he'd be second to only Aaron Judge in OPS
plus. I mean, he's playing at an MVP level.
Cal Raleigh's
Jorge
tied.
Polanco is playing at an MVP level.
Cal Raleigh's tied for the major league lead with 10 homers.
You're damn right he is.
J.P. Crawford's hitting exactly how he did in 2023. Yeah. And this is my favorite blurb of Ken Rosenthal's write-up of the Mariners.
What do you got?
Regression is inevitable for some Mariners, but the team's walk rate is 2% higher than last season. The strike rate's down 3.4%.
Those are positive indicators. You're getting on base more. You're not striking out as much. But can Jorge Polanco keep this up? Good for M's fans, man. You got to have that one moment every regular season where it just draws you fully in. You kind of got one toe in the water. You're not sure. This isn't going to be the year, and then they go on a run like this. Here we go, baby. It's going to be a big season.
How long would this have to go? We're now in May. Happy May 1st, everybody.
Happy May 1st.
Boy, April just flew by, didn't it?
That it did, Bob, and it's a long month, too.
It is. It's May 1st today. What month, if they keep playing kind of like this, gets them to fully believe in Seattle? Because in Portland, in our Portland area, our Mariner fans down here are a little sicker than the North Mariner fans.
I would say so.
When we talk to Ian Furness, he's like, nobody in Seattle ever buys it.
No, it'll fall off eventually.
But down here, they have this kind of run, and like we hear it on the YouTube chat. You guys wrong. They finally did it.
Here they come.
This is the real M's. And I'm like, why do the people up north not buy it, but the ones not in the market do?
It's a very weird thing. Very weird thing. Maybe it's a borderline thing. Once you're south of the Washington border, you just got a little bit more belief than you do north of the border.
You're too far away from
it. You're too far away. Yeah. You're not in it every single day. That maybe the belief is just a little bit stronger down here.
It is funny. I've been following baseball more this year than I probably have in a long time, like the entire league.
Yeah.
It is funny to read write-ups and be like, oh, that team's doing that, huh?
Look at that. How about that? That team's doing that.
No idea.
Nobody's watching. Nobody's following day in and day out. But you see the headlines. You see the articles. I said it yesterday. I it's nice when your team plays an early day game, although my team did lose yesterday.
So but did mine.
The 1 o'clock game
is
much nicer when you have all the other things that are going on in the evening. Because then it kind of gives you an all-day sporting event thing.
Yeah.
When you throw my baseball team in the middle of 2 NBA playoff games and 2 Stanley Cup playoff games, like, trying the best I can, but I'm not watching that. You know, there's too much going on right now.
I was rewarded for doing a responsible thing yesterday.
Look at you.
I went to bed at 9:15, and I said, Lakers ain't winning this game.
They're not winning this
game. Woke up, guess what? Lakers ain't winning that game.
No better feeling than having a premonition,
oh, so good,
trusting your gut, and then waking up and realizing I didn't need to stay up another hour and 20 minutes. I had that, too, where it was like the third quarter of that game, I want to say, ended around 9:15, and I'm like, dude, this is good. It's going to take another hour.
They weren't winning that
It's going to take forever, and all the timeouts and all the commercials.
I couldn't do it.
The free throws.
Nope.
It's going to be another hour, and do I really trust them? I did the same exact thing. I pulled the plug, pulled the chute, went to bed.
I tried to give that hockey a chance yesterday, and it just didn't reward me much.
I mean, I had the same feeling with the Winnipeg game last night. You're like, it's 5-3. They're going to win this game. It's over. It's 9 o'clock. This game's over. You're not scoring 2 goals against one of the best goalies in the NHL this year. Sorry, St. Louis. Thanks for coming.
Which, what's funny that you say that, I think the Florida Panthers had 2 goals in 11 seconds 2 games ago.
They did. It
they
can
did.
Happen.
That
it
was
happen.
After Tampa scored
it
2
was.
Goals in 11 seconds the period before.
But as Blue
no.
Line
No kidding. I didn't know that.
As Blue Line Brandon would know,
Jordan
Binnington not in net for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right.
Binnington's had a very good year this year.
Yeah.
He's an elite goaltender.
I was concerned going in.
It's okay. You could be a little concerned. He's had his ups and downs, but he's been outstanding all season.
Well, I tried to tell you guys that the Florida Panthers are the big brother and the Lightning are the little brother.
That totally a flip, too, because the Lightning just won a couple of cups not too long ago.
Yeah,
they got two of them dangs.
They stole their soul a couple years ago. They beat them in a playoff series. They vanquished those demons, and now they have flipped the roles there.
It was a bummer for me. I did an all-home team parlay last night in the NHL, and the Lightning. I thought the Lightning could win that game, but I should have listened to Blue Line Brandon. I didn't trust the intuition of the hockey man on the show, and I should have done that, and I would have won my parlay.
The
the NBA dirt, the basketball dirt thing really pissed me off in that Warrior Rocket game.
It was a very weird thing, too, because I was desperately rooting for the Lakers just for NBA dirt to ride even harder. Like, I get a halfway braggadocious night because the Rockets did win the game.
Yeah, we split yesterday.
But we split. I said both the Lakers and the Rockets would win. And when NBA dirt's feeling it, he's feeling it, and the Lakers let me down last night. That's what I get for gambling and rooting for the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's never the easiest thing to root for.
LeBron didn't get enough help, man. He didn't get enough help.
I mean, he wasn't great in that game. He's also really old.
After the game.
How are they going to get Giannis? Yeah, how is Rob Pelinka going to get the Bucks GM to meet him for coffee? And you know what? You're right.
Austin Reeves in a second-round pick.
I don't want to bid at all with Giannis. I just want to give him to you for whatever crap you're going to give me.
They're finally going to pull off the Jason McIntyre, Rui Hachimura trade. Rui Hachimura in a second-round pick for Giannis. It's finally going to take place. What do you think, Colin? Colin. That's a good trade. Rui Hachimura. It's going to go down. It's going to piss me off, man.
I don't think we could ever have Jason McIntyre on the show.
No, I don't think. Well, one, I would never want him to come on the show. I don't think he was ever invited.
List.
I don't think he's on the short list. It's one of those emails you ever get. Any interest in interviewing Jason McIntyre? Like, nah, I think I'm going to pass on that one.
I didn't see that. Sorry.
So tell me about the big lead. What was that like?
Yeah, I don't think that website exists anymore.
No, I don't think it does.
He was on an interview on our station a few years back, and it wasn't our show. But he did the weird thing where he pretend reported. He, tweeted something, and people took it as reporting.
Mm.
And then when, it might have been Dusty's show.
Trying to do the Onion thing.
They got him on, and he was like, well, no, I'm just saying, theoretically this could happen. They were like, that's not how at all you.
No, yeah. That's not the word.
And I remember hearing him, kind of backtrack out of
saying wait. I wasn't reporting anything.
And it was just like, oh, you're that guy. Oh, God, that guy.
You take enough shots on social media, eventually you're going to be right on one of them.
Oh, right?
You keep breaking news out there. It's not actual breaking news. It's just an opinion. But when then the news breaks your way.
Yeah.
You look like Westbrook theory.
Exactly. Eventually, it's going to work out for you. He's going to have a good game at some point.
One night.
He's the Michael Porter Jr. of social media. Is that what you're telling me?
What do you think my percentage chances are I get a tee time right after the show today, having not booked one?
7%.
Yeah. That high, huh?
7%.
Yeah. I already got
7%
mine. 342.
It's going to be 81 degrees today.
Why are you golfing so late?
Because my buddy's joining me and he doesn't get off work.
He's got a real job.
That's the thing about our lives, man. It's like, hey, what time can you go? Maybe 10:30, 11 a.m.?
But he does have Fridays off, so we're already got 11 a.m. at Rose City tomorrow.
There you go.
Let me know how the track is. I haven't been out on that track in a minute.
It's been a while since I played out there. Yeah, I love sending a text to the friend chat asking, anybody want to play golf at 10:30 on a Thursday? Just crickets.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. My bad.
Depends on.
No, I'm not actually playing today. Just in general, I wish I was playing golf.
Yeah,
today.
No, I was checking my phone. Yeah. I didn't get that text.
Sounds like you're going to play golf today. Where was the invite?
I don't have a tee time.
Well, let's go find a tee time.
I would love to. Honest to God, I'd be willing to forego my lifting session today to just go golf.
It's 81 degrees.
It's going to rain this weekend.
I don't think it is. I think we got nothing but sunshine.
I think you're a liar.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
It's going to rain this weekend.
They call me weather dirt too. I'm NBA dirt and weather dirt.
Who's weather dirt?
Widget says raindrops Friday afternoon.
Yep. I got nothing but sunshine on Friday.
Overcast Saturday.
I got 71 and sun
from Sunday on.
71 and sun all day tomorrow.
I was right. Rain. Yeah,
raindrops we'll Friday.
Mark this down, Jason McIntyre. Don't backpedal out of this breaking news.
Overcast it's been reported. And cool on Saturday, but no raindrops.
Yeah, we'll see about
sun
that.
Sun and 70 on Sunday.
I don't have a single raindrop in the next 7 days of my forecast.
All right, well, I don't know why
then
you guys are on this.
It's 83 on
kick.
Tuesday.
I have to move crap this weekend for my mom.
That's
the worst.
That's the worst.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Have fun with that.
What was even worse is that one of my brothers basically volunteered to spend $60 each to get a truck to move stuff and take to the dump. And I'm like, why? Why?
What?
Well, I thought it'd be a nice thing. Like, yeah, why don't you do it?
Yeah. It sounds like a great idea. You came up with it.
Go for it.
Why don't you execute
this? Don't let me stop
you. Why am I spending my $60?
Why am I the one? I'm getting a Venmo request here. What the hell? No, I'm not paying you for that.
Well, my mom's kind of a hoarder.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know you guys are probably, oh, yeah, I totally get it. My Bob, too. No,
Like, lots of stuff.
Like, it's Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, getting through her house.
That I understand.
Don't step on something. There's boxes and stuff, stuff everywhere.
Why don't you try to get in that bedroom? Bet you can't. No, you're right, I can't.
Can't get in there.
Literally can't. There's just stuff everywhere.
It's not a bedroom anymore. It's just a storage facility.
There's someone in my extended family that is, yes.
It's not like the gross version of the Hoarders
episode. No, it's not gross.
There's
but
a dead
it's...
cat in your pile. What?
What?
There's a three-car garage, and there's no cars in that three-car garage.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff.
It's kind of, that's, you know, but that's the situation.
The best part about, the tough part for Hoarders, too, is like the moving absolutely blows. It's horrible. Nobody wants to do
it.
The
problem is you have to go through it because somehow they're attached to it in some capacity.
Everything. Well, that's what I'm going to say. Like, the best part about moving is if you're not a hoarder and attached to things, like, you get to throw away so many things. You're like, why do we have this? Why is this here? What? This has been sitting in the garage for 5 years. Why are we holding on to it? Like, we got rid of so much crap when we moved, and it was such a freeing feeling. But for the hoarders, you can't do that.
Well, so I helped her move.
You should be able to do it, but you can't.
I helped her move some stuff, and she has this, like, I don't even know what you call it, like a table trinket. It's, you know, yay big. It's got glass casings on the side and in the middle. It's like some angel picture, like a picture of angels. The glass had a crack in it, and it weighs almost nothing. So I picked this thing up, and I'd say about a foot wide.
Yeah.
And I go, all right, well, we can throw this away. No. What?
What? Why?
That's an original.
Original
what? An original who?
Was it a Banksy?
She goes, they signed it? I said, that's a copied signature.
What, the angel signed it? Who signed it? Jesus himself?
The artist. And I go, where did you get this? A garage sale? And you think this has value with broken glass? Where are you going to put it?
We don't even know who the artist is.
Let me think.
She waiting for the Antiques Roadshow to roll through.
I'm taking that in, man.
She'll never go.
Did Randy Jackson happen to autograph it? Who signed that thing? I want to know.
Just threw it into her laundry room. Like, all right, then you know what? What am I supposed to do here? I don't know what to do.
Yeah, at some point you just throw your hands up. I'm not going to help you move if you're not willing to throw anything away.
Well, look, I don't want to get dark on a Thursday. Guess who got to deal with that when you die?
Yeah.
This guy.
Yeah, who's got to go through all that crap?
Guess who won't care about it being an original? This guy.
That's going to go. It's going to get thrown in the dump at some point. It's either now or later. It's your call here.
Well, fortunately, when Papa Swag went on the fifth wheel and the touring in the RV, went through that.
There we go.
It was great.
Downsized everything.
So he's already downsized everything.
It's perfect.
My uncle, so it was my mom's uncle, it'd be my great uncle. Before he passed away, he lived with my mom for the last, like, year of his life. And he's a very interesting cat. He was in a motorcycle gang. He was a really good guy to us, but, like, you know, he had a past. And he was funny. He was leaving us stuff because he knew he was dying. And he's just like, I'm going to give you this gun. I'm like, I don't want that gun. He's like, well, I'm going to leave it to you. I'm like, oh, damn it.
Damn it.
Anyways, left a box of photos in my mom's garage. And I just, when I went back to her house, I saw these photos. Do you know what's in these box of photos? I mean, topless ladies at motorcycle rallies.
Yes.
Just leather-chapped ladies with their up-tops just completely out.
Hang those up in Arnie's gym in the garage. Yeah. I want those up
on the motivation.
Wall. Yes. Right behind your squat rack.
My entire 7th, 8th grade girls basketball team went through my garage yesterday. Could you imagine if I did what you said?
Brandon, what are these?
Their parents dropped them
off. Coach, why is this on the wall?
I respect women.
It's a family heirloom. It's given to me by family.
This is equality.
I'm actually a feminist in this, if you look at it that way, you know? Women's rights.
Yeah.
Put those on the wall, man. Hold on to those.
It would not be great.
Those are relics.
Needless to say, my Saturday morning blows.
It's going to be fun. You're going to have a fun little weekend.
I'm sure I will.
You got a delightful little weekend ahead of you. It does kind of feel, when you get an 81 degree Thursday, it kind of feels like a Friday, doesn't it?
I'm treating it like
when
my
it's
Friday.
That nice, you're like, God, this is kind of feels like a Friday out there today.
Well, we got the Magic Hat to get to. David Sampson's going to join us. He is he does his show Nothing Personal, former president of the Florida Marlins, won a World Series, now does sports business, gives his insight on all kinds of things. He had a take on his show that was inspired by me. And so he talked about it on his show.
He did.
And so we're going to bring him on to give us his thoughts on the Portland Diamond Project, the bill that was passed through the Senate. It is a loaded show. Dirt and Sprague, let's get it going next on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, welcome back in. 6:22 on the fan. On the fan!
I'm getting tee time invites now.
Really?
Tee time invites. If anybody's playing at Waverly today, hit me up. I'd be down. Anybody got a 10:30 out there? Any P1s out there hitting up Waverly this morning?
What do you guys talk
about? I mean,
about?
I guess twist my arm. Fine. I'll go play. Fine. Fine.
What do you talk about when it's not football season? Well, we just go on the air and we openly beg for tee times.
That is the one thing, like, of all the things that happened at the fan before I got here, the most jealous I've ever been of primetime was when they did their summer Weasel Tour.
Rop did his Weasel Tour.
He did his Weasel Tour to get on every golf course in the area and just shouted out a different random. Do we have any listeners that are members here? Yeah, sure. Can I get a tee time? Let's do it. All summer long. What a brilliant idea. Why have we not done that yet?
You know what's smart about him doing that is he did that and then he kept all the context.
Yes.
And now he doesn't need to do that.
Now you got a P1
again.
Who's now a buddy who's a member at the course. Okay, you know, okay, the green's rolling out there. Pretty good. Sure, I'll come out and play. Fine. Yeah,
I just got spammed. There's one of our listeners who we used to work with. He just shot me like three available tee times.
You got three out there?
I'm trying to play at a certain, I have a window. If I can play right at a window, I get home before my kid gets home
then
from
it's
school.
Then it's a perfect day.
And then it's absolutely.
Then you're home, you're there for dinner, you're present, you're not, you know, being absent as a father. It's a perfect win-win.
Well, we cleaned our house because we had an ice cream party with our basketball team yesterday.
Got to get everything dialed in, ready to
is
go.
Is the season over or just
no,
a get-together?
No, it just was like my wife came up with a really good idea of like, hey, you know, it's only a four-tournament season, but we got all these practices and...
There we go.
Try to build camaraderie.
You got to do a little team bonding early in the year.
Yeah.
You got to get the kids together.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, let them mingle a little bit.
There might be a time in my life during this where, you know, you never know. Maybe I become the Western Oregon women's basketball coach.
How
and I
funny
leave
would that be? That spin out of this.
I mean, if I was to do any other job, 10 that would
years
probably
from now,
be the most
what happened
fun.
To Sprague? He's a Division I college women's basketball coach now. What?
He's joining us for the ticker.
Would there you still come on? You got to come on the show. We'll have you on.
Oh, dude. If
tournament
I,
time?
If somehow, and I never will be.
What's the deal with your pick and roll, Sprague? Huh?
100%. I'd come on. I'd talk about anything you want to talk about.
Hey, how much does that roster cost you? You spending as much as Texas football? You putting $35 million into that thing?
I'd be like, yo.
We had a hell of an ice cream party there.
Damn right. Damn right we did.
Remember those ice cream socials? We turned that into NIL ice cream socials. I'd be honest. I always listen to these interviews with these coaches, and I'm always just, like yesterday, J.J. Redick. Did you see his pregame?
I did. He was not very happy.
Look, I love J.J. Redick. I think he's a good coach. I think he's super smart. Like, it's cool to watch him go from former player with a lot of knowledge, podcaster, breaking everything down, making Stephen A. look stupid, to Laker coach. I thought that was cool. And then he had a good year. I would just tell you, I watched those interviews, and I'm like, why is that the approach?
Why is that the way
why
you're handling that?
Why do you need to be so angry? Like, yeah. What do you think? I don't talk to my assistants. It's like, well, clearly it's a journalist who's just asking about, would you change anything or what's the approach? It's your first year as a coach. I thought that was actually a very fair question.
Hey, why'd you ride these guys into the ground at the end of the last game?
You could have said, well, I always go to my assistants for that. But yeah, I learned from it and it's first year in the play. Like, I don't know why it's such a bad thing to say, yeah, it's my first year in the playoffs. I'm learning too.
I'm learning a little bit. I was hosting First Take last year. Now I'm trying to game plan for Anthony Edwards in the NBA playoffs. It's a little different, a little more challenging. We're all growing and learning together. It's a process, man. That's one of those, like, you're mad at your dad, you're not mad at me situations. Like, they're like, that has to just be an overall sense of frustration that gets you to latch on to one question that is asked. It causes you to lose your ass, because that was pretty immature for an NBA head coach to essentially take his ball and go home.
I just think he's better than that.
I mean, he you was like, I mean? Like, for those who miss it, he was essentially asked, like, are you going to lean on your assistant coaches for what was it, rotation advice or whatever the question was? And he basically got all hot and bothered and stood up and just left the press conference. That was it.
He was like, you don't think I do that. Why would you ask that? That's so weird. And then he get up and left.
Just
and
left. Just like, right in the middle of the press conference. All right, I'm done. I'm not doing this.
But
anymore.
See, like, if I, it's easier to say this.
Western
not,
Oregon head basketball coach Brandon Sprague.
No. If you said somehow some weird scenario happened where I worked my way up the ranks, I have a totally different nature of just like, it doesn't need to be contentious and angry.
No.
And I think it's more fun. I think you build more for yourself by giving more goodwill towards that. You're going to get dumb questions.
You are.
But why not chuckle at it, give an answer, not be a jerk, and then just move on to the next
one? Some of it's timing. I mean, it's an hour and a half before game time, and maybe he's into his game mode.
I mean, I think that's all it
but
is.
But you know that's part of the deal signing up for that
job. Every game you got to talk to the media before the game. There's a little scrum every game.
I know.
Every time you show up to the arena, you got to do
the
that.
The point I was making is, if I ever was a coach, I'd always, shoot me a text.
Yeah. Hey, your center kind of sucks, man. What's the deal with her? She can't grab a damn rebound.
You know what you don't see, Andy? You don't see behind the scenes the impact
all
she
the
has
work she's
team.
Putting in the gym. You don't see the hours she's putting in. No, I see her shooting 47% for the free throw line, though.
Yeah, we got to get better. You know, we got to get better. There's no way around that. That's bad.
It's a bright future. You're hired. I'm giving you the job right now.
I think Portland State's still looking for a women's coach. They just fired their coach.
I think they'd take anybody right now.
It'd be really funny to apply for that. Did they make an announcement?
Did they?
I saw that they fired her. I'm like, what are the expectations for Portland State women's basketball?
What's that job pay? What do you think the salary is there?
90?
90?
Yeah, maybe 110?
100.
100, you think?
Yeah.
Gotta be six figures, right?
I mean, that's not a bad gig. Making six figs.
What's Barney make?
What are the expectations, too?
Clearly not 500. I think she went 50.
Oh, she went 500?
I think in conference she was 500 and they turfed her.
Look at that, high expectations.
And it was like her second year.
Over on the park blocks. This isn't acceptable around here. We want to go tournament time.
I guess.
Tourney time, baby.
Do eight people go to their games? And they have expectations?
Yeah, they hired.
They got a nice new gym, I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, middle of the month. Carly Burris.
Big fan of her work.
Carly Burris.
Big fan of her work.
Yeah.
Up-and-coming coach. Been around a long time.
She was an assistant at UNLV the previous four seasons.
The Rebels. Who could forget?
They were really good last year.
They were awesome last year.
All right, well, we'll get to the NBA. Basketball dirt struck again yesterday.
Half of basketball dirt.
Yeah, but he got off to a great
exactly
start.
Right.
Basketball
you guys
dirt
clearly didn't listen to.
No, he did. He hit it right. We just don't want to give you credit for it.
Okay.
Yeah, he hit it, but it doesn't matter.
You know, because of your egregious nature the last couple weeks, I'm not going to give you credit.
Okay.
You didn't play the announcer game with me.
No, we didn't get a Brockmeyer. Still waiting on Brockmeyer.
You refused to just
say. Because I focused my things on real, actual,
tangible outcomes.
Tangible things that were going to occur.
What do you think we're doing here?
What do you think it is we do here?
We are having fun with microphones.
15 hours a day, you know, or a week, I should say.
I just wanted an old-timey baseball announcer, and you couldn't even give it to me.
I don't have that in me.
Yes, you do.
He's in there somewhere.
He is absolutely buried deep within your soul.
Let that little man out.
According to you, I am an old-timey baseball announcer.
You refuse to just say.
I don't need to play a role. I just have to be me.
Bear mayonnaise by itself on a sando? I'm out. Masked mayonnaise in something that I like.
Not
I'm
that
willing
bad.
To say maybe not that bad.
Maybe it was okay. Maybe it was palatable.
Yeah.
No.
Went down all right. There.
You liked the pimento and cheese.
You did.
A lot of cheese.
A lot of mayo.
Nah.
I looked up the distribution percentages.
Nah. What's the percentage breakdown?
Do you want to know how much of the pimento cheese has mayo?
I would love to know.
44%. Almost half that sandwich was mayonnaise. You didn't even know it.
That's why you're not getting credit. NBA Dirt rides again, baby.
Yes, he does.
NBA Dirt's here to stay.
The Magic Hat is next on The Fan.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the Magic Hat. It's the Magic Hat.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics,
yeah.
And we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his Magic Hat.
Hocus Pocus, where are you?
Something. Now you see me, now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Yes, it is time for the magic hat. It is a Thursday at 6:30. The Tim Mona special. Welcome in on this Thursday morning. We have a lot of things in the old magic hat. All right, let's get to them.
All right, first up, leading off. Four!
Yeah.
How many times did we yell that last Thursday?
Yeah.
Is that going to get to him?
Four! All right! Nobody ever reacts either, because you never know where it's coming from when you're on the opposite side of the floor.
Everybody just does the...
You just kind of do the general, like...
I kind of... I don't even do that anymore. I kind of just do the shoulder. Like, don't hit me.
What are the odds? What are the odds this is actually going to hit me? You know, not a very good chance.
Yeah, unfortunately, this isn't really a funny story. Oh. It's kind of a dark story, and there's more to come from the story. I don't know who's followed this, so there's a guy named Jeff Spearbeck. And he is a longtime agent and friend of John Elway, and reportedly he has just passed away. Now you might be saying, why does that matter? Well, one, it's sad, but two, reportedly he fell off a golf cart that was going at a speed fast enough for him to have hit his head hard enough on the asphalt to put him on life support. It has come out that John Elway was driving this golf cart. And I believe it was post them attending a music festival.
Yes.
Yes, it was in La Quinta, California.
Yeah, down in Palm Springs.
So we don't have all the details other than that, but John Elway driving a golf cart, best friend, longtime agent, falling out of it while he's driving it, passes away.
Yeah, not good.
It's pretty awful what's happened there. And I hope nothing more awful comes out of that story than just hey, he just...
A tragic accident.
They hit a speed bump, and they hadn't slowed down, and he just happened to fall out and hit his head.
Yeah, or maybe, there was too much alcohol flowing through him, and he just fell out of the cart that way, and it wasn't a driver error. You're going to investigate this. You have to. Passed away.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went, I believe, right after the incident happened. He fell, he was out unconscious right into a coma.
Clearly hit his head really hard.
His head. It wasn't something that was like an internal bleed that slowly developed. If you're going at that speed to hit your head that hard, I mean, not just like, hey, I scraped myself or I fell out and I hurt myself. No. That's dangerous stuff, especially when you've been probably boozing all day at a music festival. Just tragic, man. 62 years old, incredibly young. They've been friends forever, agents for, forever. Mm-hmm. Had a business relationship for a very long time. Like, imagine the connection in between the two families and how well they know each other.
Yes.
And now this happens with the two of them. It's a very tragic story that there's no winners in this.
So I didn't see this in the read-up that I saw. Can you be charged? If they find out you're...
I don't know.
I don't know how all that works.
I don't know.
I don't know
works.
If you can be charged criminally, but you could be sued like a...
There could be a lawsuit.
I mean,
for sure.
These are like family friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if a lawsuit comes from this, because I think Elway... I would imagine, like, if something happened to Dirt and I was part of it, and I had the means, I would definitely always be helping his wife.
It became his manager, I think, in 1990.
Yeah.
That's how long this relationship
goes
back.
Almost brothers, basically.
Almost brothers at this point.
Yeah. Sad story. All right, what's next for the match?
Next. His villain arc is complete.
Who do you think I'm talking about when I write his villain arc is complete?
Dylan Brooks?
You would be correct. Here's Dylan Brooks last night on going after Steph Curry's thumb.
No, I've been playing the game. Shoot. If you're going to come play the game injured or whatever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time. So whatever they're saying on the broadcast, they can keep saying it.
So basically, you're injured. I'm going to go at your injury. And I want to add to this. The reason I wrote his villain arc is complete.
That's my guy.
I held a basketball team ice cream social yesterday. My whole team showed up except one player. And I had the Warrior Rocket game on, despite it being a 30-point blowout. And every time they showed Dylan Brooks, my team, who largely doesn't watch the NBA,
doesn't follow it that closely,
was like, I don't like this guy. Because every time they saw him doing something, he's involved in a little scuffle, a little push, a little foul.
A little here or there, a little give and take, and a little push, a little elbow.
I laughed really loudly. I go, you guys are just discovering Dylan the villain.
Dylan the villain, baby.
And when that team, when my players find out about Dylan the villain, the arc is complete. He is officially the villain.
He's officially the villain. He is, he said there was a slow motion video of him. I think it was in game 4. Where even after Steph Curry shot a three, you could see his hand. He was guarding him, got the hand up, came down with the hand, didn't foul him. But after the shot was away, the slow motion camera sees him like picking up and lifting his hand twice to just essentially try and hit his hand.
He's hitting his thumb. Yes.
Now, I will defend Dylan the villain in this, right?
Oh,
and that is
would.
That, I mean, look, go Ducks, baby. We ride together, die together, bad boys for life. Is this, I mean, if you're injured in it, like he's just saying the truth out loud. If somebody's banged up in a pregame, you know it. The coach says it. Hey, this guy's got a weak this, or hey, let's try and capitalize on his. He rolled his ankle. He's not going to be able to move laterally this way. Like,
right.
That's a thing that's known in the game plan. He's got an injured thumb. He's out there. I don't blame him. Dylan the villain.
That's my guy.
Do we have showers here? Do you want to take a shower now? You gotta feel gross.
I just won a playoff game again. He was awesome last night too. Big time performance, PTP-er.
So, I think there's a difference between saying a guy is injured, we can go at him, and a guy saying, if you step out there, I'm going to go at the injury.
It's fair game, man.
If you have a bad ankle, and we're playing basketball,
I'm kicking you in the ankle, right in the shin.
I was just going to say you could just try to dribble and make moves and really test the ankle. You don't need to actually hit the ankle.
24 points plus 25 last night out there. Just balling last night. My boy DB.
We've got more in the Magic Hat that we'll get to on the other side because Dirt needs to brush his teeth now. It's got to taste disgusting saying what he's saying. Disgusting.
Can't wait till this guy lands in Portland. Gives us that physical edge that we need here.
That would be the first jersey of a player you've bought since who?
That's a good question. I was trying to think. I thought I had a Lillard jersey, but I don't. Brandon Roy, I think, was the last jersey I bought.
Ugh,
I bought a Cliff Robinson jersey when he passed away, but that doesn't count. That's a little bit different. Counts. I mean, it counts, but if, in terms of a current
active
player,
blazer.
Look, yeah. I wouldn't actually buy a Dylan Brooks jersey, but it would be pretty funny.
You would be excited if we got him, wouldn't you?
I would, yeah. I genuinely would. Yeah. We suck. We're going nowhere. Might as well have a physical edge to us. Oh, God, we won 35 games. We can't shake up the apple cart with a physical, intimidating player. We're on a great trajectory to winning championships.
54 wins when Denny's at the four.
I mean, come on. We project as that next year. We're taking this huge step. We can't break up our championship roster with a player that brings a physical and intimidation edge. We just can't do it. Can't afford it.
There's a Blazer segment that actually I was going to try to get to today that it made my eyebrow raise of, I have no idea how any of this stuff is being decided with that organization. I have questions, is what I would say.
Yeah, just a few.
Let's get to more of the Magic Hat next on The Fan. I want to talk about the greatness of an athlete at the top of the hour, but it's Magic Hat time right now. There's more magic in that old hat of his, so let's find out what it is. What's the next one?
All righty, the next one is Disarmed by Honesty.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So yesterday, I leave the show. I leave the station. We do our Great Notion, what's on tap video. We talk with people. We're hanging out. So I leave, and I call my daughter. My daughter on Wednesdays has late start. So usually on Wednesdays, I aim to take her to school. And so I'm trying to leave, but I'm leaving right at a time that's right up against when she needs to go to school.
Yeah, cutting it close.
So say, hey, I'm just leaving now. You can take the bus, or you can wait for me, and you'll be like 2 minutes behind when I normally drop you off. She goes, I'll take the bus. I was like, okay. So I'm driving. Get over the Ross Island. I get on to 99. My daughter calls me again, probably 10 minutes later. Hey, I'd really like a ride. I'm not going to make the bus. To my right, as I'm driving, hands-free, by the way, there's a semi in front to the right, and there's a car right behind the semi that I would say is 3/4 ahead of me. Okay? We're all going at normal speed. Nobody's speeding. This car, as I'm talking to my daughter, just cuts over.
Ooh.
And we're not talking like a tiny car either. It's like a full car. Cuts me off. I hit the horn once. I didn't lay on the horn.
Give it a little beep.
I just went, burp, and that was it. Just like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Come on. You almost just hit me. So we're going, and they're ahead of me. I go through a light. I go to another light. The third light on 99. It's about where, there's a turnoff for a new season's, a plan, all these. Anyways, they're turning.
Yeah.
And I'm going straight. As they go into the turn lane, and I'm passing them now, the middle finger comes out the window.
Like it was your fault.
On the passenger
side.
How
dare you honk at me?
And I'm like, what?
Oh, hell no.
And I turn and I look, and it is a 58 to 66 year old white woman just giving me the finger.
Wow.
Just giving you the business.
And I look ahead and I see the light, and I'm like, I can make this green, but I knew it was going to change soon. Yeah. So I slowed a little bit because nobody's behind me. Yellow, red. Yes. Slow down, stop.
We're right next to each other.
Now we're next to each other. Hey. And I don't usually engage in this, but I hit the old window.
You feel a little more comfortable. If it's a certain type of person, you're probably not doing that. But a 58-year-old woman, you're not very threatened by that.
And I go, excuse me, are you flipping me off? This is the tone I'm using.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't let us over. Yeah. And the guy's not really saying anything, but he's missing teeth. She's just screaming at me.
Just hollering at you.
And I'm like, yo, you cut me off. You didn't really use your blinker. We had the blinker on. You refused. So we went. And I'm like, that's not what you're supposed to do. If you cannot safely get over, you wait till you can get over.
You slow down or you speed up.
And she goes, no, that's not how we do it. And I go, you guys are being a-holes. And she goes, yeah, we are a-holes. Oh. We do what we want. We're a-holes.
Oh, okay. Appreciate the honesty.
Nothing to come back at
that
point.
I had no comeback. Yeah. She completely disarmed me with just being outright honest of who she was.
You got nothing.
I had nothing.
There's no response.
I just stopped. I literally stopped and I chuckled and I went, yeah, you are a-holes.
Exactly.
They went B-Rabbit on you. They used all their ammunition.
They
made fun of themselves.
I couldn't
There's
believe it.
There's nothing else left to say at that point.
I couldn't. I was just stunned. I'd never been disarmed by sheer honesty in slight road rage incidents.
Dude, I had this last week. We were heading to my niece's lacrosse game at Cleveland, and we were going through. There was an intersection with a four-way stop, okay? Everybody comes to us four-way, all stop.
All stop, yeah.
I think the rules of an all-way stop are pretty familiar with all drivers.
Everybody stops, and then you look to either who's there first or on your right.
Or on your right, okay? I'm coming. There's a car to my left, so that makes me...
on the right.
On their right.
With the right of way.
I would argue that I stopped first, but it was close. You know, one of those, like, could have been either or, but I would argue that I was the first one to come to a stop at the stop sign. So I'm in the right there because I was the first stopper, and I'm on the right. So I'm two for two here, and there's no other cars at the intersection. I then, okay, everybody stopped. I proceed into the intersection, and the second I get about halfway through the intersection, the car at the other stop sign just lays on their horn for a seven-second horn. I turn in my rearview mirror. Like, is he what? Why am I getting honked at right now? Double birds out the window.
Wow.
And I'm just, did I miss something here?
Yeah.
Is there a protocol that I'm not aware of? Four-way stop. I was on the right and I stopped first. Why are you yelling at me? What did I do?
I just, man.
I'm all for, I've said this, like every 10 years, everybody should have to go take the practical driving exam again. And I'd love for it to be dropping, like somebody from the DMV just shows up.
Randomly shows up.
Just
your
like
turn.
A random drug test. Nope.
What was wild about mine was, this was the passenger.
Let's talk about
that. Of course it was.
The guy barely talked.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much he could
can't
talk.
Believe he's still married, but he was missing Doug. Yeah.
That's one of those where the wife's just dominating that relationship.
Yeah.
And get over! Get over! She's yelling at him as he's driving. Fine, there's a car right there, but fine.
I didn't want to say it, but I'm just like, you're absolute white trash.
Yeah.
You look like it. You're acting like it. You sound like it. Have some respect for yourself.
This is why I cannot stand driving.
But she disarmed me with honesty.
Yeah,
I had no response.
That'll happen to the best of them.
It's a good thing because they probably don't have insurance.
Well, the car, see, here's the thing. The car wasn't...
It was a nice car?
It wasn't bad.
Really?
If you would have saw the people in the car, you're like, did you steal this
car? Never believed it.
Did you steal that car?
Where'd you get that car?
All right, we got time for one more here.
All right.
Titans need some clippers.
Yeah, I want to shout out one of our great listeners who tagged us on Instagram on this. Dirt's never on Instagram, really, to repost his child. So there's a story out. The Tennessee Titans, they're getting a new stadium.
Yes, they are.
They had $500 million in funding, okay? $500 million.
In public money?
This is the public contribution?
Yeah. And it's just come out that PSLs, the personal seat licenses that you can buy,
right?
$10,000. And we're going to talk to Samson about the Portland Diamond Project a little bit today. I want to ask him Blazer ownership question, or just how things are run with an estate, who they... prop up a person, even though we know the person doesn't like basketball, you know, questions. And I see the Clipper games, and I know they're choking, but the Clippers took this stance of, we're going to have a section, it's affordable.
Yeah.
And I think there's a breaking point. I was talking to a friend, one of the moms of the girls on my team, and they've lived in a couple different spots, and she said, we used to live in New York, and we used to go to Yankee games all the time in the old stadium in the Bronx. And it was awesome. The vibe, the atmosphere, you could just feel it. People
it's
were
a
all
classic
in.
Stadium that Babe Ruth played in.
And we went to the new one, and she goes, and this is not some diehard sports fan that knows all sports things. And she goes, you could just feel the difference.
Felt corporate.
And I go, yeah, it's because they sold out. It went corporate. You're pricing out all the diehards that used to be able to get into the older games. And so I wonder if we're gonna reach a point here where more people are on my side of just not going to games because it's never affordable. And honestly, I'd rather just watch other games as well versus paying out of my butt to go to one game a year.
Well, I think people will be more along the lines, or they'll work it. I think you'll start to see more teams or more fans like, okay, I've seen them at home maybe. So unless it's a big playoff game or something that's special, but just go to a random regular season game, whatever, to pay, you know, sticker price, they're more likely to say, okay, we want to go on a vacation, and as where we're going, our team happens to play while we're there, then I'll shell out for a different experience.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans have already gotten there, to be honest with you. It just, I especially if you have families, it's one thing to be a single guy and you're just, you got nothing going on and you're, hey, let's go to a, you know, a Blazer game or a baseball game or wherever you're living on a Tuesday night.
$10,000, man. That's crazy.
To ask for that for season tickets is ridiculous. And I think that's where, you know, the NFL can kind of get away with it.
That's just the seat license.
That's not even the cost of the ticket. The NFL can get away with this a little bit just because of the sport that it is. And this has happened, to be honest with you, in Seattle. Like the Seahawks used to have one of the best home field advantages in all of football. I know we made fun of the 12s, and it jumped the shark a little bit when they started to be good and winning, but that used to be a rowdy, passionate fan base. And what happened was you started winning, and all of a sudden the ticket prices went so high that it priced out the fans who genuinely care about the team, and it became, hey, let's buy these are a good investment. We can resell these to fans who want to go to games, or we're going to make a profit on these, or I'm going to buy some for my business. And that's why you get so many games now where the Packers, the Niners, whatever team you want to include is in town, and it's a 60-40 crowd split because so many people are just using them as essentially an investment. And so that's the sad part about it, but I think a lot of fans – it's different to do, say, you have 8 home games a year or 9 games home games a year, whatever it is in the NFL, or 81 in Major League Baseball, or what is it, 41 in the NBA. It's a much different thing, but I think a lot of fans are already priced out from this and saying it's not worth my money anymore.
Well, there's a story out. I'd have to go find the website, but I saw it yesterday. A story out about the Commanders' new stadium, yeah, which Josh Harris released. It looks awesome. It's state of the art. There's been reporting on that the area, the district, the whoever they get the money from in that area, I don't know how all that stuff works over there with the D.C. area, but a vast majority of that is actually public money, but it's not been touted as such. And so it's just like, so all these resources get sucked into these stadiums.
And then you milk the
and
profit.
And then you price the living hell out of most of the fans.
Well, D.C.'s different because they're the only metropolitan city that has their budget approved by the federal government.
Yeah, it's a weird situation.
It's a weird mess.
But you don't think Buffalo's going to be dealing with this?
Oh, yeah.
Cleveland is dealing with this soon?
It'll be the same thing, man.
And that's kind of what I want to ask Samson is, that bill passed for the Portland Diamond Project, and we all celebrated it. And we know infrastructure's got to be built and spent citywide, statewide, but like, what are we really looking at here?
Yeah, I'll use the different analogies for different sports. Like, if I'm in an NFL market, I'm okay forking over. We need to have this a little bit with college football, right? Like, I would never be a season ticket holder because that's just not my mojo. But if you tell me, like, hey, let's get some boys together, let's take the kids down for a game, I'll do that for one weekend.
Sure.
That's why I view the NBA and Major League Baseball to me are so different because it's such a long season and you have so many home games that those are the ones that I would be more fearful pricing people out because you're asking people to come a dozen times a summer, essentially, if you have a Major League Baseball team. In the NFL, you have so many fans and so many people travel, like, you can get away with people just saying, hey, the Packers are in town this weekend, let's go watch that game. Let's take the kids, let's take the family, go tailgate a little bit, have some fun. You don't necessarily need to have season tickets because it's such a short season and it's only once a week. Dude, baseball, you could have like 14 home games in 19 days, man. You got to pack that thing 14 straight times. It's not an easy thing to do if you're outpricing a lot of your fans.
There we go. There's the Magic Hat on Thursday. We do it every Thursday at 6:30. We have a lot to get to in the second hour, including David Samson. We'll get his thoughts on the Portland Diamond Project bill, his thoughts on how ownership structures work, because I got a Blazer kind of esque question to ask him. But to start the second hour, let's talk about a great athlete with a great moment and an all-time great athlete being dunked on. We'll do that. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.